from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Here's what I want from you today at 916-909-1320. If you remember the moment you became a fan of a team, I want to know that. And if you have, like, your first sports memory.
Mm.
Or just a core sports memory for you. Like, something that sticks out. I was mentioning the Steph Curry shot against Oklahoma City in 2016. The double bang shot. Mm-hmm. Where Mike Breen freaked out and said bang twice. And I remember that because I was out in Arizona at this bar called The Yard. And I'm not going to go back through all the details of that game, but basically OKC had that thing sewn up. And then Kevin Durant threw away an inbounds pass. Andre Iguodala got fouled with like 0.3 seconds left or something. And he needed to hit 2 free throws to tie it and send it to OT.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Iguodala that year shot like 52% from the line. Whew. Not a good free throw shooter. And so I'm watching at the bar, and it's one of those like bar area here, but then seating over yonder. There's, you can go. So I'm standing at the bar. I see the foul. I'm like, Iguodala's not hitting any. He might not hit one, much less both. So I go find my friends. Say hello to everybody. And then I look up and the game is still on. It's in overtime. And then Steph hits the shot in overtime to win it. And I didn't even get to hear the call the first time because it's on at a restaurant. Like there's no sound. And so I didn't get to hear it live, which was a bummer. But it was funny because I thought I was the only person in that place paying attention to the game. But when Steph, and again, if you don't remember, he takes like 2 dribbles across the timeline and hoists and knocks it home.
Mm-hmm.
to win it. And this was in the middle of their pursuit of the 72 wins and all that. So it's a big deal. And I thought I was the only one watching. When he hit that shot, the entire bar reacted to it. And it was a lot of fun. Just a rando little memory that sticks out.
What's been your best covering a game?
Oh.
Have you had a moment?
Hey, honestly, I know this is probably, and I'm going to say covering a game, not just a game I was credentialed at,
mm-hmm.
because I've been credentialed to games where I'm not like actively working.
Yeah.
It was probably the NFC Championship game this year.
Oh.
And I know that sounds like recency bias, but that's the first. Because I was at the Niners playoff game covering their divisional game, or is it the the wild card game? Divisional game? Divisional game against Minnesota in 2019. Yeah, they didn't play wild card weekend in 19. Yes, it was divisional game against Minnesota. I covered that one. But the Niners kind of ran away with that game. It wasn't particularly close.
Okay.
So this year's NFC title game, and then I didn't cover the NFC championship game that year because I didn't get a credential for it, which is fine. Not fine. It was annoying, but fine. So yeah, the NFC championship game this year, I think, is the one that jumps out the most to me. Because I'm standing there at halftime talking to people as if, like, man, all right, game's over. What does this offseason look like? Like, they were just getting housed. Mm-hmm. The Lions were the way better team.
Yeah.
And you could argue, again, having done a recent rewatch of that game, you could argue they were the better team for all 60 minutes. The Niners just got a couple of breaks to go their way. So that was the most, like, unbelievable. I can't believe this is happening. And it's really cool that I get to be here for this. The other one, and again, this is one of those ones I wasn't, like, covering in a way, but I was credentialed at the game, and I've talked about this before. The season opener at Arco, when it was confirmed, I think it was confirmed the Kings were staying. Because Shaq was there. And there was a big, like, ceremony before the game. And the morning show host at the other station, I can't remember the guy's name, he was there and doing a whole thing pregame. And the electricity in the building and the lights were down. And then there's strobe lights and it's music. And it was just a party to open this game. That sticks out to me as well. Because I was in the, like, auxiliary media seating at Arco.
Mm.
So I was up in the sticks.
Yeah.
But just having a great time. It was just an unbelievable atmosphere. And it was the first time I'd ever seen a Kings game like that, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because every other Kings game I'd been to had just been, like, you know, regular season games. I went to, like, a Kings-Clippers game during Tyree Evans' rookie year. And I went to a game the year Jimmer was here during his rookie season. And then I'd been credentialed at some other games that were just regular season games.
Gotcha.
And they were fine. It was a cool environment, but nothing like the pregame of that. Like I said, I think it was the season opener when it was confirmed they were going to be in Sacramento.
Okay.
Moving forward, that was a moment.
Okay. Yeah, I would say, like, watching a game, the probably the funnest moment I've had covering the Kings specifically was Tyreek Evans hit the, like, I don't know, three-quarters court shot, half court, like it was before half court.
Against the Bulls? Memphis.
Yeah. So
the Bulls, they came back from, like, 35 down or something, right?
The Bulls, they came down.
That was the thing that happened?
30. I think they went on a 31-1 run to tie the game.
Wow.
And beat the Bulls.
But that's a different game than the...
Yeah, so Tyreek hit the shot. So basically what had happened was Memphis had scored, and it looked like the game was over, and they inbounds the ball mm-hmm. deep to Tyreek, and he caught it right near half court and just hoisted it. And that first year, I was up in the box where you're behind...
Mm-hmm. The auxiliary seating.
Yeah, behind the...
basket.
The basket, but, like, on the King's side. And the way he shot it right at us, and it started spinning towards the basket, and I was sitting with Zach Harper,
mm-hmm.
and we both started leaning. It was like, oh, that's got a shot. And then boom, the entire place blows up.
Of course.
Tyreek runs over, he jumps on the scorer's table. There's, like, an iconic photo of Tyreek standing on the scorer's table, shot with the lights back behind mm-hmm. him. And Jason Jones is holding on to his leg because he was worried the table was going to collapse and Tyreek was going to fall. And so Jason Jones is literally, like, reaching out, holding Tyreek's leg because he was sitting front row as the Bees beat writer.
That's crazy.
So that, like, as far as, like, the on the court action, what happened, that was a big one. But that first year I covered the team, I had two crazy moments where you're like, oh.
Caller, we see you. Hang on there for 1 second. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was standing on the court in pregame with a whole bunch of media members, and I remember Jason Ross was standing right next to me, and Dominique Wilkins walked up.
Oh.
And it was like, he's like, hey, what's going on, guys? and just like came over and like started chatting with our group because he was so cool. Media member. And I was like, oh man, it's Dominique.
That's a trip.
And then
that's such a trip.
Later that season, I had been kind of used to what was happening and all that stuff. And I was sitting on the baseline. I had just interviewed Paul Westphal on pregame. We were just hanging out talking. And Marv Albert and Jim Gray decided to walk up and say hello to Paul. And next thing you know, I'm in a conversation with Marv Albert, Jim Gray, and Paul Westphal sitting on the court at Arco Arena.
Ridiculous.
For like 5 minutes. And I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. Surreal. This is weird.
It's insane.
Yes.
Totally insane. Give you a ding for that. Don, you're on the Insiders. What do you got? Hey, Don.
Hello?
Yes, Don. Hello, you're on the Insiders.
Hey, this is Frank, man. It's not Don.
Oh, sorry. Our call screener messes up all the time. What do you got?
It's all good. We're just talking about sports memories, man. And you guys might not like me for this one, but I've been a Packers fan since I was like 7 years old.
See ya.
Man.
No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
I remember in 95, man, they had been terrible forever, and I didn't want to be a Cowboys fan. I didn't want to be a Niners fan. Everybody was. And I remember this Monday night football game against the Vikings where all of a sudden the announcer just said, "The Pack is back." And I was like thinking in my head, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard, man. You know, I want to be a part of this. And they just railed on the Vikings. Monday night football, it's like this coronation for a team that had been terrible for so long, you know, and they were back. And I wanted to be a part of that. And that's kind of the feeling sports gives us, right, is you're a part of something cool, you know. And I just remember since then, you couldn't pay me $1 million to watch any other football game, man. And just all the memories, you know. I got a lot against you Niner fans recently that I don't like, but
that's fair.
I'll tell you, back in the day, we owned you guys and the Cowboys owned us, and now it's flipped, right? You own us and we own the Cowboys, and I'm like, hey, you know, all's well that ends well, but
no doubt.
I just wanted to share that with you guys. I'm a first-time caller, but I listen to you guys every day out here in Sacramento, and I appreciate you guys.
Frank, appreciate you, bro. Thanks so much for calling. Don't be a stranger. All right. Yeah, man, it's so weird to hear people talk about the Packers being bad. I was just talking to Aaron, the tribal chief, I believe is D'Lo and Casey's nickname for him. I was talking to the tribal chief yesterday, and I have a story on the tribal chief thing in a second. But I was talking to Aaron, who's from Wisconsin, is a Packers guy. And he was talking about how when he was a kid, the Packers were always so bad. And you just heard Frank just now say it was the coronation for this team that had been so bad for so long. As somebody who was born in 1990, the Packers being bad just doesn't compute in my brain. Because they went from Favre to Aaron Rodgers and now to Jordan Love.
They had Don Majkowski, who was...
Yeah, the Magic Man.
The Magic Man. I mean, they were trash for years.
Right, and that is so weird to me.
Yeah.
Because they've been... And they've had down years for sure. But there's never been a stretch of time. Like, the 49ers from 04 through until Jim Harbaugh got there were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Post-Jim Harbaugh, the 4 years immediately after that, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just... In my life, the Packers have never had a stretch of seasons where you just go into the year like, yeah, the Packers are winning four games. And they've just been good. And now it looks like Jordan Love's going to be a dude.
Yeah.
Maybe the dude.
I don't know.
And they're going to go from Favre to Rodgers to Come on.
Come on.
Can you be bad for a little? Like, a little bit. I know the Niners have gotten the better of them for a while, but Frank was right. I grew up knowing the Packers as the team that always beat the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, the no pun intended, the game where they beat them in the 98 wild card game, the Terrell Owens catch, the catch two as some call it.
Yep.
The Niners should have lost that game.
Mm.
Jerry Rice fumbled and they didn't have review yet. They implemented review, I believe, the next year. But Jerry Rice fumbled late in that game and the Packers recovered. It should have been Packer ball game would have been over.
Yeah.
But the Niners finally kind of got over on them. And now like Frank said, now that's kind of flipped. But for a long time, the Packers were that thorn in the side.
I think it's interesting, just like sports fandom in general, like how you attach yourself to something and how, you know, again, like how many friends I've made over the years because of not just Kings coverage, but like relocation attempts and all that stuff.
Sure.
Like how many people I know because of, you know, being around the team and having sort of a similar, you know, we've talked about this, like this will be my 35th year playing fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I've had the same league for like 32 years. Like, we've...
That's nuts.
We literally have lost two members of our, like, who have passed away. Like, when you're in a league for so long, mm-hmm. and like, you actually have things happen.
Yeah, like real life stuff happens.
Real life. Like, how many people have been married? How many people have, like, been divorced? How
over,
many kids?
Over a course of 30 years?
Yeah,
like,
how many kids have been born? Like man. It's just really, really wild. Yeah. So it's kind of fun to see. And that's why I love that I've been able to hand off some of that to my son, mm-hmm. with regards to, like, you know, sharing a team and stuff.
Yeah, that's
like,
super cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. And like, he has his leagues and all that stuff that he does, but mm-hmm. we hang out all day on Sunday. We watch football from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we end up now, we get up and we watch EPL. Before that, we'll watch soccer at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Just
and then
tack on a couple extra hours.
Yeah, just tack on a couple of hours. And then I can't walk the next day because I've been sitting all day long.
That might be the move for me this year. Maybe I'll start tapping into some EPL.
Oh, it's...
I'll just start waking up earlier on Sundays.
Yeah, it's fun.
Get a little coffee going.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey,
that
I'm,
might be the move. I might change that up.
I'm hoping the Olympics will really help the Peacock app, because it's really bad for soccer. If you
if you
don't get up and start when the game starts, you have to wait like 2.5 hours after the game for it to process and then watch.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, and when you go to watch it, the score's up. So you already see what happened. So there is no like going back and like trying to be surprised and watching the game
fresh.
Oh,
that sucks.
So there's a lot of things that needs to be worked out. So I'm hoping that the Olympics and like all the coverage has been spectacular.
Yeah, coverage of the Olympics been really good.
Yeah.
Don, you're on the Insiders with James and Kyle. What's up?
Good morning. I just wanted to say my favorite Kings moment. It's a little random, if that's okay.
Yeah, no, please.
So this is back in 2013. Me and my dad went to the Sleep Train Arena. We were playing the Detroit Pistons. And it was like the one ESPN national televised game we got. At halftime, they bring out the Guinness World Record book guy, and we do a test to see how loud the crowd could be. And then he's like, all right, this one's for real. And then he announces we broke the record, and I kid you not, the crowd screamed louder when he announced we broke the record. Such a good time.
That's incredible. Thanks so much for the call, Don. Appreciate that. That's fun.
I was there covering that.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I remember.
Do they still hold the record?
I don't know. The loudest indoor arena ever. Yeah,
man.
They had like the decimal reader, like the official Guinness Book of World Record guy standing there.
Let's see. He said that was in 2013.
I think it was. Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm looking for, I want to find that game. Yeah, November 15th, 2013. Kings fell to the Pistons 97-90. Ooh, let's play a fun game. Stand by.
Okay.
Let's see. So this is November of 2013. James, can you name the Kings starting five from that night?
November. At the point guard, it should have been, oh no, November 2013. Darren Collison?
No, Darren Collison was not on this version of the Kings.
Oh, then it's the year before. So Isaiah Thomas?
Isaiah Thomas was coming off the bench. Sixth man, Isaiah Thomas.
Okay. Wow. DeMarcus Cousins, Rudy Gay.
DeMarcus Cousins, yes. Rudy Gay, no.
Oh, he hadn't been traded there yet. Tyreke Evans.
We're early. This is like the eighth game of the year.
Oh, okay. So Tyreke Evans.
No. Tyreke Evans not on the team.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I've failed miserably.
Dude, you said it. All these years start to blend together after a while. You got DeMarcus Cousins, Ben McLemore.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Thompson, John Salmons.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
We could have sat here for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And I would not have gotten this fifth name.
The fifth name. Okay, so let me think. Salmons.
So you have DeMarcus Cousins, Ben McLemore, Jason Thompson, John Salmons. IT is the sixth man.
Okay, so it's not Jimmer starting.
No, Jimmer was a DNP CD.
Okay. Oh, man.
Do you want me to tell you who came off the bench?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Omri Caspi.
No.
Oh, is he gone? Oh, is J.J. Hickson?
J.J. Hickson not on the team.
No, he's not. He wasn't there barely. Oh, that was a year before.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. Okay, 2013. Oh.
Early 2000. That's the other hard part about doing this with the NBA.
Yeah.
Is you have 2013 twice.
Whew. Okay.
The end of the 12-13 and the beginning of the 13-14.
Yeah, so if Isaiah Thomas is there, I'm not going to be able to get it.
Hang on 1 second. I want to see if anybody in the chatty house has it. Don't cheat if you're trying to guess in the chatty house.
Well, it's not Bano. If John Salmons is there, they had traded Bano in 2011.
It was not Bano.
They traded the 7th pick, which was Bismack Biyombo, and Bane Udra for John Salmons, and the 10th pick, which became Jimmer.
Hey, man,
Is it Grievous?
It was Grievous Vasquez.
Oh.
That is correct. It was one of the 18 games he played for the Sacramento Kings. Congratulations, Gran Torino 916, for knowing that.
So then they traded him. That's right. So they got Grievous as the throw-in in the Tyreke Evans sign-in trade to New Orleans. Then they traded Grievous along with a couple of others to Toronto for Rudy Gay later that year.
Mm.
Rudy Gay, Aaron Gray, and one other player came back to Sacramento.
Luke Baamute?
Oh, yeah, Luke Baamute.
Played 29 minutes. Marcus Thornton played 23 minutes. Tough night for Marcus Thornton. 1 of 6 from the field, 1 of 5 from three.
Okay,
still a plus 3 on the night.
So Luke Baamute, they traded for Derek Williams right after that?
Mm.
Luke Baamute had barely played. Yeah, so they traded for Derek Williams to Minnesota. And then Derek Williams had a huge first or second game where he put up 30. And then that was sort of the peak.
Patrick Patterson was on that team, P-Pat.
Yeah, P-Pat. And so was Chuck Hayes.
Mm-hmm. He played a couple minutes that night. I think Patrick Patterson was born, let's see, what year was he born? 89. I think Patrick Patterson was born like 10 years too early.
Yeah.
I think he's one of those players. I think Lamar Odom fits in this vein as well. Although Phil Jackson got quite a bit out of Lamar Odom, but I think they're the type of player that, because Patrick Patterson got in the league in 2010-11 season, I think coaches still looked at players like him and were like, you're a power forward. You're going to hang out in the paint and you're going to do stuff there. When really he should have been like a stretch 4 and maybe even a small ball 5.
Yeah.
It just teams hadn't gotten. And by the time teams got there, he was, you know, kind of the player he was going
to
be.
That was sort of the line of attack right there. The first they brought in Chuck Hayes to try to work with DeMarcus Cousins. And then they brought in P-Pat thinking that he would work with DeMarcus as they were just trying to develop him and trying to, you know, bring him along.
Yeah.
Ray McCallum was on that team.
I loved Ray McCallum, dude.
Yeah.
I was all aboard. There was a lot of hype around him after his summer league because he just looked like he knew what he was doing. Looked like an NBA player in summer league. I was all in. I bought fully into the Ray McCallum hype.
Yeah.
I was big on that whole era. The Ray McCallum, and then not long after that, a couple years after that, it was the, oh my God, Chauncey Billups was on that Detroit team. That's crazy.
Wow. That late?
Yeah.
Wow.
In 2013, yeah.
Okay.
Is
that like Tobias Harris?
Who was on Detroit? Josh Smith, Brandon Jennings, Andre Drummond, Greg Monroe, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Was on, God, KCP's old, dude.
Yeah, he's been
around. Kyle Singler?
Oh, wow.
Rodney Stuckey, Will Bynum, Warriors legend Jonas Jerebko.
Mm. Okay.
Peyton Siva. That's a name.
Wow.
He was Louisville?
Mm.
Peyton Siva? Yeah, Louisville.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways. That all sparked from our guy Don calling in and letting us know. He was at the game where the Kings broke the record, the Guinness Book of World Records for loudest indoor arena. What a fun moment. It's time for everybody's favorite segment of the week. It is Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
Hey, Kyle. It's James.
What's up?
Please have me first. Kings going to make a move? Or 49ers going to get something from Brandon Ayuk? And 49ers shouldn't overlook Detroit Lions. I think the Lions are going to be their biggest. I think they're going to win that division. between them and the Bears. Caleb Williams.
Hmm. You don't believe in the Packers?
The Rams made a mistake. I'm sorry?
You don't believe in the Packers?
They're a good team, too, but I think Bears got themselves a good quarterback, Caleb Williams.
Okay.
And they drafted a good wide receiver.
Yep.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Guy,
Roma Dunze.
Roma Dunze.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really going to be a good division.
Yeah.
So the 49ers really have to keep an eye on that division, and I think the Rams would be pretty good, too.
Right on. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate the call. Yeah, man. I think the Rams might win the NFC West. I think the Rams are going to be really freaking good this year.
Hmm.
The Rams might go to the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a big believer in Sean McVay.
Yeah.
And I think that after a couple of down years, I think they have gotten that ship righted. I think Cooper Kupp's going to be healthy this year. I'm fully buying into the Rams. As far as his first question, what happens first? The Kings make a move or something gets done with Brandon Ayuk? The Ayuk thing is going to get done first.
Yeah, I would assume that that's going to happen like anytime.
Yeah, that'll happen here in the next, maximum couple of weeks.
Yeah, but I would even say the next like couple of days. It feels probably like this thing has reached a boiling point and they're either going to just pay the guy or they're going to trade the guy.
Yeah. They're going to reach the end of talks with the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
They've done all the because there's not that much negotiation to happen. The Niners say, we want player X, Y, or Z. And the Steelers say, nope, we'll give you player A, B, or C. And they go, okay, well, that's not going to work out. And the Niners are then going to go to Ayuk and say, all right, are you going to accept this trade to the Browns? Or are you sticking around?
Yeah.
Here was the Steelers' offer. We'll give you that offer. And at that point, as far as the ball being in his court, like that's just going to be it.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think it happens here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah. Like, we got it. We got to go find the 200 meter.
It's on right now. We got it.
Here it
is. We also got to go find this break.
All right.
That's what we're going to do next. We'll give you a Brandon Ayuk update. Speaking of that, when we come back, and
or a keyword.
Oh yeah. We already Didn't we already do that?
I don't think so.
No, we didn't.
No.
We're giving away two tickets to our suite at Sutter Health Park next on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Theater. Got 200 meter final in the Olympics right now. If you don't want spoilers, turn it down. Tough look.
Wow.
Tough look. Oh my God.
That was amazing.
That dude was smoking.
Yeah.
Tobogo?
From Botswana?
Yeah, that guy was moving.
Wow.
Dang. Bednarik and Lyles got smoked.
Did he come in? Did he get the bronze?
I think he was third. He might have snuck across for second, but I think he was third.
Yeah, I think the other U.S. runner got second.
Bednarik, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough look for Noah Lyles because the 200 is like his event.
Wow.
Dang.
Wow, that was crazy to watch.
Tough go.
All right.
Tough go.
Wow. All right.
Bednarik is yoked. Someone get that guy playing some receiver. Holy smokes.
He could be the next Willie Gault.
Oh, hey, I had an epiphany the other day.
All right.
Remember the whole Austin Rivers, there's more guys in the NBA who could play in the NFL than vice versa?
Okay.
That's just the correct take.
That there are more players.
Yeah, he basically said, the crux of his argument was, it's easier to be a football player than a basketball player. He didn't make this argument, he didn't articulate this correctly, I don't think.
Okay.
But he basically said, like, there's a bunch of dudes, Antonio Gates was a college basketball player and then went to the NFL and is a Hall of Famer. Tony Gonzalez, same thing. And the idea being, and I think he's right, the skills you need to acquire in football are a lot more like speed, agility. They're just easier to work on than like dribbling well enough to not get the ball taken from you by NBA defenders.
Okay.
And like jump shooting is just a thing that needs to be repped over and over and over again. Whereas if you're a good athlete and you get with NFL coaches and you can run two routes and you have enough size to box out a defender, you're gonna have a pretty damn good career in the NFL.
Okay.
And again, this is not to say like being an NFL player is hard. And if Austin Rivers went and tried to play in the NFL right now, he'd get smoked. But if help me out. If LeBron James at 27 said, I'm gonna drop everything and work on being a football player, he could have been a football player. Whereas if George Kittle dropped everything right now and said, I want to be a basketball player, you wouldn't be able to go be a basketball player.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the skill set is just really is way different.
Huh. I get what you're saying, but I'm not sure that I fully agree with him because in order to be an elite wide receiver or an elite defensive back or, you know, one of those guys, right? Mm-hmm. You have to run a certain speed. And I'm not sure that every basketball player, like De'Aaron Fox has world-class speed.
Let's pause right there.
Yep.
It's not every. It is not every basketball player. There's a mindset. Kyle Renato brings this up in the chat. Like, once the pads come on, it's different. I think that would eliminate so many dudes right away.
Mm.
But if there are, let's say, two.
Yep.
There might be two players in the NBA right now who, if they decided to drop their NBA career and spend an offseason training, getting ready to play in the NFL, they could make an NFL roster. I'm saying two.
Okay.
And it might be 2 years of training. I don't know. I don't think there's a player in the NFL that could drop everything and train for 2 years and go be in the NBA.
It's interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Because if you're 6'6 in the NFL, you're like, wow, that's a tall dude. And you're a two guard in the NBA. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to rehash this whole thing. I was just thinking about it the other day, and I feel like he was right.
I don't know. Like I definitely think like LeBron James could have been a great tight end or a great defensive lineman,
mm-hmm.
or he could have at least played.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know if great or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think that the skill sets are different enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bigger question is if you took a bunch of 10-year-olds and had them focus on one or the other, like which could you get them to be a professional athlete in easier? And I'm not sure that we know the answer to that because I don't know.
No, there's so many, that's true. There's so many things that go into it. There's size, there's body type, there's just hand-eye coordination in general. That's kind of a thing you have or you don't.
Well, yeah, that's where like a bunch of defensive backs think that they could play in the NBA. They can't because they're defensive backs because they're not wide receivers because their hand-eye coordination typically isn't at up to that speed.
Right. Micah Parsons said he could score 20 in the NBA.
No.
It's just no chance, dude.
No.
Well, because you cook in one-on-one against randos at the park. Because you're just the biggest athlete out there. You're 6'3", 245.
Yeah.
6'3", 245, like, just doesn't... That's not an NBA body type.
No, but I could have seen, like, let's say Davion Mitchell as a middle linebacker or even as a running back in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think he could...
That plays.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that would make sense to me. I could have seen Fox as, like, as a quarterback or as a wide receiver in the NFL.
I can see him as a DB. De'Aaron Fox got DB, a DB body to me.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I don't know. I think the skill set to be in the NBA is just dramatically different, I think, and harder to acquire than the skill set to be in the NFL.
Hmm. Okay.
Just from a physical, like doing the sport, like I said, and like Kyle Renata said in the chatty house, there's so many additional things that go into playing football that go beyond just the skills of it.
Oh, of course. Especially the ability to hit somebody, the intensity that you have to play with.
The Niners offensive line coach, Chris Forrester, said a couple years ago, I don't care that if you get your ass whooped in a game, I care that after you get your ass kicked in a game that you can then come back to practice and practice as hard as you did the week before. Mm. Like, can you get whooped and then come back? Like, that's it. Can you get murked up on a rep and then come back the next rep and win it? Or are you going to get murked up on a rep? This is why your boy was bad at football. You get your ass kicked on a rep, and it's like, whoop, I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to do this anymore. This sucks.
I think it's interesting, too, like if we remember back the Roger Craig era, right, of San Francisco 49ers. Like, they made a big deal out of him going every single Monday and would get, like, a massage for, like, 2 or 3 hours, mm-hmm. like, to break up all of, mm-hmm. like, to keep his body.
Scar tissue.
Now that's, like, what everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, totally reasonable, but at that point, it was like, oh, my gosh, that's what he has to do to keep his body.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we all have that guy now, the masseuse on staff.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, ready to roll.
This is part of a player's routine now.
Yeah, totally.
Want to go get a little 45-minute massage.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the ice tub, everything else. No, I think it's a good like discussion. I just think, like, as someone who played football, played basketball, like growing up, there is a mentality from football that's just so different.
Yes.
That I don't know that a lot of NBA players have.
That's what I think would more than the physical skills to play the sport.
Yeah.
That's what I think would stop people from playing more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, yeah, the first time you're not even catching, like, hey, you're going to line up and you've got to take on this blitzing linebacker. Fred Warner is going to get downhill against you and you have to just hit him and make him stop moving.
Yeah.
Like, pfft, nope.
Yeah.
I'm out, dog.
Yeah, I think even as someone who played, I didn't play tackle until high school.
Mm-hmm.
The kids that played at like 6, 7, 8 years old, the Pop Warner kids, like their ability to hit versus everyone, like it took like a year to figure out how to actually hit somebody.
Mm-hmm.
These dudes came in and were just like, oh yeah, I can hit no matter what.
That was always the problem for me is I never learned how to do that. Like, they would set the back, like you'd run through the thing and then they'd have the tackling dummy at the end and you gotta hit it. And they would always say, like, run through it. And I could not get my brain to the point that I just with reckless abandon would hit a thing without slowing down, without bracing myself. I just need to throw my body into this bag and hit it as hard as I can.
Yeah, very difficult to do.
Yeah, didn't like it. What's not difficult to do is go out to Sutter Health Park. And we're giving you a couple of tickets to the game on Friday, August 16th. We'll have a suite for ESPN 1320, and we're inviting you. You can win now at ESPN1320.com and enter the code word SLIDE. Code word slide. I'm not going to pick a bunch of weird things to say about slide because the chatty house is going to make it weird. So slide, as in I slide into second base. S-L-I-D-E, slide.
Like electric slide.
Nope, that's it. That's as far as we're going with that.
All right.
Slide, S-L-I-D-E. Enter that code word now at ESPN1320.com and you will be entered to win two tickets to the River Cats game in the ESPN 1320 suite at Sutter Health Park on Friday, August 16th. Keyword, slide.
Excellent.
Hey, if you're Brandon Ayuk, why do you want to go to Pittsburgh?
Storied franchise. That like, over the other choices.
Because you want to play for Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, I mean, that would be part of it. But, you know, I think, you know, the lineage there of great players, of just overall greatness and stability as a franchise. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those places where, you know, like Green Bay, like if I were a player, I would like to go play for the Packers. I would like to go play for the Chiefs. Like there are like a handful of teams mm-hmm. where you're like, okay, if I'm just like trying to go for something that like very, very cool spot mm-hmm. to go play, nostalgia.
EB, this is way too soon, bro. This too soon.
Oh, no. No,
we don't need all that.
We don't do that.
You don't need all that. He said it's in Jeremy Giambi, slide.
No, we don't do that.
This guy cuts me deep. I don't know why you did that.
That's horrible. Can I bring up two small things?
Please,
from the NBA world.
God's sakes.
Our guy, Kyle Guy, has retired from the game of basketball. He is joining the staff of the University of Virginia.
That's where he played.
Yeah, as a, I don't know, development, like he's getting into the coaching game. So big shout out to Kyle Guy, who was here in Sacramento, I think two seasons, second round pick. Really, really, really nice kid. Like very nice kid, hard worker, just, you know, worked his tail off to get into the NBA. And mm-hmm. so big shout out to him. He's actually been really good overseas. And so I'm surprised he's hanging it up this early.
He has big future head coach vibes to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And then the second thing we have is our friend Michael Scotto mm-hmm. Sent me a text, and he actually just reported via Hoops Hype that the Sacramento Kings gave Orlando Robinson $500,000 in guaranteed money in his 1 year deal. That is a surprisingly large number for a non-guaranteed contract. So they have until midway through the season, like January 12th or something, to guarantee his money for the rest of the year.
Okay.
But that's a significant dollar amount for a non-guaranteed contract. Like most of the time you see 100,000, 200,000, 250, 300, but all the way up to 500,000 is a little bit higher than I would have expected. Especially with the Kings sort of up against, like they are super close to luxury tax at this point. And
so does that mean he's just going to be on the team?
It means there's a good chance he's going to be on the team. Although the Kings have definitely in the past have given guys like guaranteed money and then not kept them.
Mm-hmm.
Just not usually this high.
Damian Barling, in for the handoff. What's up, man?
Kyle Madsen.
We're trying to figure out why Brandon Ayuk wants to go to Pittsburgh. Is it like just to play with Mike Tomlin?
It could be.
But I just don't. It's Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
Yeah,
that's
like
what we're rocking with.
That's well. My thing has been I don't, as a wide receiver in particular, I don't think I want to go to. I don't think I want to go to a place that's having a quarterback battle. As a wide receiver, like I want to know who my quarterback is. And like, yeah, these guys are battling it out. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. Yeah, like in theory, that's fun. Unless you're a wide receiver, then it's like, wait, we don't have a solidified like number one quarterback yet.
Yeah.
And I know they have Russell Wilson listed as one on the depth chart right now, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't, I don't understand that idea either, other than, you know, maybe he's close to people on the team. You know, maybe it is Mike Tomlin, but Mike Tomlin is not here for your nonsense. Not speaking specifically of Brandon, I'm speaking of anybody. He is he's not here for the nonsense.
Yeah.
And like I don't know, like for a player like Brandon Ayuk, I just feel like if I was a guy looking to make my place in the NFL on the offensive end, I want to play for Kyle Shanahan.
That's
or Andy Reid.
Sure.
And that's not a knock on what Mike Tomlin does offensively. That's just not what Mike Tomlin is known for.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tomlin is a coach, but no one I think ranks him at the top of like offensive geniuses in the league.
No.
And Kyle is one of those. And like, if I'm a wide receiver, that's who I'd want to play with. And I know there's a lot of different circumstances involving the San Francisco 49ers. Part of it is, you know, from a fan perspective, it's the sheer amount of talent is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
From a player perspective, it's like, oh, you know, Debo's getting the ball. Christian McCaffrey's getting the ball. George Kittle's getting the ball. You got all of these different guys getting the ball. And you're going to run the ball a ton. Elijah Mitchell's going to see the ball who knows how many times. Like, guys are constantly – the ball is going to be spread out. Like, but if you throw it to me, as the numbers have shown, I'm going to pay off for it. But I'm going to pay you off for it. But that's not the way the offense works.
Right.
That's interesting. I would also – like, you're dealing with two cast-off quarterbacks, right? These are guys that the teams that they just played for – one team paid a lot of money to not have that guy on the roster anymore, and the other guy they gave up for, what, a sixth-round pick? And so for me, I'm not sure that if I'm Brandon Ayuk, I want to sign a five-year deal to a team that over the last handful of years has put some of the worst quarterbacks in the league under center.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think so.
Yeah, and so what are they going to do now? Like, they don't value it. It feels like they don't value the quarterback position as much as some other teams do, and they don't value the offensive side of the ball as much as some teams do. So
it's just weird that they're both question marks. Like, I like Justin Fields a lot, and I actually like Russell Wilson more than others. But I also know that Russell Wilson's very clearly on the other side of his career trajectory right here. And I'm not entirely sure who Justin Fields is. Is he the guy from Chicago, or is he the guy from Ohio State? Like, I do not know. And again, if he's an offensive lineman, hey, okay, do what you want to do. If you're a running back, whatever. But a wide receiver, there's one position on the football field, if I'm a wide receiver, that I do not want question marks about, and it's the quarterback. There's no question who's the quarterback in San Francisco. Maybe both options are good in Pittsburgh. Maybe neither one of them are good. I genuinely don't know. I'm rooting for both of them. But that's just not a position I'd want to put myself in if I was Brandon Ayuk.
The 49ers, you're mentioning the volume aspect of this. And this is one of my favorite stats from last year. Brandon Ayuk, who finished, what was he, seventh in the league in receiving yards? Yeah, seventh in the league in receiving yards, was 36th in targets.
Yeah.
But to that end, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who trailed in more games than the 49ers did, threw it 15 more times than the 49ers did last year. And George Pickens had 106 targets, had one more target than Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I don't get it. I just why not Cleveland then?
We'll talk obviously more about this when you join us tomorrow, because we can really go in depth with this.
Yeah.
But do you still think there's a chance he signs with San Francisco 49ers?
I am now leaning more toward that than him getting traded.
Yeah, that's what I am.
The fact that we're still sitting here.
Yeah.
If they wanted to trade him, it would have been done.
I think the 49ers, like, I think we get wrapped up in the NBA's player empowerment. That doesn't really exist in football, even when things like this happen. It's like, yeah, no, go ahead. Go see what's out there for you. Remember, the Ravens did the same exact thing with Lamar Jackson. They said, go sign a trade, or go find a trade, and I believe it's the only time in history where trash-ass teams like the Atlanta Falcons were like, yeah, we're not going to trade for Lamar Jackson. We don't want him. We're rolling with this scrub that we got over here, and we're going to live in mediocrity for the next 6 years. But no, it's cool. We don't want Lamar.
Totally.
You saw a team after team, and I believe this was an orchestrated attack by the NFL, but
correct.
That's a different
that's
story
correct.
For a different time. But in the end, what happened? Lamar got paid by the team he was on.
Yep.
He didn't get the exact contract he wanted because he wanted a fully guaranteed contract. But he got what was at the time the richest quarterback contract, the richest NFL contract in history.
Yep.
So I ultimately feel like that's how this is going to end for Brandon Ayuk.
I do too.
I kind of feel the same way. Like but it could go, like, we could be totally wrong.
This thing
could blow up tomorrow.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Like instability of the whole deal.
But what have we been saying about the 49ers the last couple days? Like, this is a clown show. This is not. And they have, for the most part, they've made their mistakes along the way here. No NFL team is perfect. But for the most part, they've been what I would call a good organization over the last half decade or so.
Yeah.
Trading Brandon Ayuk now for pennies on the dollar is a bad organization move. And that's why I can't. I've looked over the Steelers roster and I've looked over what the Niners need and what there's. It doesn't match up. The Steelers are willing to give up these X amount of guys. And the Niners are like, no, we want one of these three guys or four guys or whatever it is. And I don't see why the Steelers would trade one of those guys. If that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense.
Like, they're not giving up TJ Watt for Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing with the Niners here. Is that, yeah, if you want to make us better,
yep.
Great, here.
Yep.
He's available.
We're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So your draft pick 1 year from now, 2 years from now, it doesn't help us.
Mm-hmm.
I need someone who helps us win a Super Bowl. Yeah. If you cannot provide that for us, we can't talk.
Right.
And that's the message that has to be conveyed to Brandon Ayuk and Because the leverage play there, in my mind, is if we trade you to Pittsburgh, we don't get anything that helps us win a championship. If that
Correct.
Pisses you off and you don't want to play football, that's fine. We're in the same exact position we would be in if we did the deal with Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
That's what you said.
So, yeah. That's what I was...
I stole that from you then.
No.
No.
That's just the right thought.
That's what I mean.
My man.
It's what you said this morning. Yeah, it's like...
I get all of my 49ers information from NinersWire.com.
NinersWire.com.
And read every article in sight. That is NinersWire.com.
We're doing okay this month. We're doing okay.
Very good.
We're moving the right direction. Yeah, man. I just don't see it. I don't see it.
I think Brandon Ayuk is a 49er. And if they want to drag this out to give us some content for a while, hey, by all means, do
Amen.
It.
Amen.
I'm tired of the content, though.
Yeah,
can we get
yeah,
another team
fine.
In the mix?
Because we're not writing.
And that's,
oh, that's true.
No, but that's,
nah,
it.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That's the thing. And we got to go here. But that's the thing is the Niners and Steelers are in talks. About what? About what?
Just
They're
say,
in talks.
Yeah. Well, Kyle and Mike are friends.
How,
just how's it going?
How hard is it to get on the phone and go, hey, these are the guys we're willing to give up. These are the guys we want. Okay, let's see. There's not that much back and forth to happen.
Well, but you do have to have a back and forth. Because there's multiple things
For
at play.
4 days?
Well, that's different. Yeah, that's different.
All right. That's Damian Barling. He's coming up with D'Lo and KC. Me and James will be back tomorrow with the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube at 10 a.m. on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye!
Jiffy Lube has a special promotion going on right now. Purchase a Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Oil Change at Jiffy Lube and receive a $25 e-gift card from popular brands for food, gas, and more. Visit Jiffy Lube today.
Sky River Casino is the place to play, and this month, Sky River Casino is the place to eat. Celebrate brunch in style at SR Prime on August 11th. Be sure to head over to skyriver.com to reserve your spot. They got classics with a modern twist. They got an incredible wine collection, and this month, they got a special 40-day dry-age Prime Creekstone 30-ounce ribeye. You don't want to miss out on that. You can head over to the humidor after brunch. Then you can head out and do your gaming, man. Sky River Casino is the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. Sky's the limit if you're 21 and over at Sky River Casino.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-700-6898. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-700-6898. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-700-6898. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-700-6898.
8898, 800-700-6898, or biglou.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.